Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the show today. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next hour, I'll be talking to you about various subjects pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'd like to talk to y'all about the foundation that America has laid, and I'm not talking about what the founding fathers did and everything else. I'm not going to try to prove that we were a Christian nation. I'm going to use the word were. If President Obama, he would have never brought up, we're not a Christian nation if we were at a time a Christian nation. He wouldn't have to go through that. And I take it to say go through it because evidently he wanted to let everybody be aware that this is not a Christian nation no more. And I don't see the big deal when he said that. I really don't. When we say that this is not a Christian nation no more, I don't see the big deal. We're not. The Bible talks about, if you go to Matthew 6, verse 22, it talks about the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, that whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When I cut on the television set, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but when I cut on the television set, and I'm looking, there is no sign of a Christian nation at all. If I have to go to a designated channel like 78 for TBN and Word Network, maybe in the hundreds, and if I have to really kill myself to get somebody to mention God, then we're probably not a Christian nation. The individual person has problems because they're not able to look in the mirror and say, I'm an alcoholic, or I watch too much sports, or I need to spend more time with my kids. You can never find out anything unless you look in the mirror. Well, if an individual can do that, a country should be able to do it also. And President Obama looked in the mirror, said, we're no longer a Christian nation. But I also believe he has some other strings attached to that statement and some reasons why, globalist-wise or secret society-wise, somebody probably told him, just go ahead and say it. We're not a Christian nation. Now, the foundation that I was talking about, that I wanted to bring up, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. I read it wrong. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, and it goes on to talk about every man's work. But the foundation is Jesus Christ. It also talks about in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It also talks about in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. So the foundation that a true believer in Christ should be standing on is that Jesus Christ is all that in a bag of chips. Actually, the factory. Actually, heck, all the chips in the world. I mean, he is our true focus. And when we take our true focus off of Jesus Christ and put it on something else, that foundation is threatened. It talks about in Colossians chapter 3, it has a list of things, of conditions that people will not enter the kingdom of God on. And then it gets down and it talks about idolatry. Or a covetous person, which is adultery, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So this covetous person, which is idolatry, should not enter the kingdom of God. Now, when we go to, let's go back to Matthew 6, and it talks about you can only serve one. You can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. When I look at this, I'm not just thinking of money. Because idolatry, if it takes you away from God, it says no adulterous person can enter the kingdom of God. If it takes you away from God, then it can be put in this scenario too. It says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Yea, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Well, I'm going to say you that this is talking about money. But let's look at it in this perspective. Whatever you put before God can be put in this scenario. So the foundation has been broken because of idolatry. Television, if you sit in front of it long enough, can make you go brain dead. If you watch CNN enough and you believe there's no weapons of mass destruction still, you got a problem. But if you watch soap operas and if you watch comedies, heck, some of these comedies are just terrible. The Holy Spirit had to stop me from watching The King of Queens. I kid you not. The King of Queens is one of my favorite shows. I had to revert back to Good Times and Fred Sanford. And heck, even Fred Sanford can have his times. You say, well, you're getting a little bit, you're splitting too many hairs. Well, you know what? If I'm splitting hairs, maybe you need to go read the Word. Maybe you might find out I'm not splitting hairs. Area code 416. You call here a lot. I don't know who you are, and I won't say that. God bless everybody out there. I can't answer any phone calls because I don't know how. Last time I hung up on somebody, and I'm sorry for hanging up on people. I don't mean to. I just don't know what the heck I'm doing. I need to get the premium package because I hate holding this phone. I want the microphone on. And yes, I'm crying like a little girl because I want my microphone. I paid all the money for the microphone and the equipment in my studio, and I got to hold a phone. And it's hard to turn the Bible. Yeah, I should get an intercom system, but heck, you might not hear me because one of the shows I did, I can't hear myself. So you had to turn up the volume on there. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and hold the phone. Now, in the Word, when it talks about building the sand on two foundations, this goes into, so I used to be a construction engineer when I was in the Army. And we learned a lot about foundation. And simply put, if you build a weak foundation, you're going to get, if you hire somebody to do some work for you around the house and they do a messed up job, you need to tell them they're doing a messed up job. But if somebody you hire to do a good job, you need to give some word of mouth out there for them to send a shout out. But the foundation is very important. If you build a house and the company mess up your foundation, it's going to come back to hunt you during a storm. I guarantee you. the Bible says in Matthew 7, it says, therefore, whoever heareth these words, sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and blew, and the winds blew, and beateth upon that house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ, that same foundation that no man can live on if he's going to survive, but Jesus Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And listen to this, great was its fall. Now, it says in Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundation are destroyed, where can the righteous do? Pray. But, heck, this is talking to the righteous. The righteous need to examine. We need to always examine ourselves to make sure we're in the faith. But for the unrighteous, the foundation, you have to go back to the original layout, the blueprints, and build again. There is such thing as a prodigal son coming back to the father. And when that son is back to the father, life, we realize that life is not so bad on our side of the fence. And God is calling out people to bring his gospel to the forefront. Now, this nation is going to head towards judgment. Today, Mr. Obama, President Obama, I have to get clarification on this one, but from what I heard, this month is gay and lesbian night, month, and I won't touch the other one because I don't want to go off of what I heard. We have to pray for the president that he'll make righteous decisions, that he'll make decisions that are best for the country and best for, I don't want to say, as Christian, because the Christian life, if you hold ground towards what God said in His Bible, be the head, not the tail, you're gonna have a happy life. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, you're gonna love you're gonna have a lot. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're gonna have a nice life if you live on these foundations. What He told us to do, you're gonna have a good life. Your life ain't going to be that bad. Okay? Now, see, changing the subject sort of, the secret societies don't want us to hold to the foundations of Jesus Christ. They want Jesus Christ out of the scene. But see, the secret societies also want the Muslim faith out of the scene. They also, the only thing they want left is atheism. See, Albert Pike wrote a letter to Mazzini, whatever his name, I can't even say it. And in that letter, this dude's demonically possessed. In this letter, he gave the groundwork for three world wars. Can you believe this? And he gave exactly who would be fighting in World War One, World War Two, and World War Three. That is crazy. So these people not only lay the groundwork for a new world order to come to fruition, because that's what's going to bring a new world order into fruition, is a World War III coming in the next couple months, maybe a couple years. They also want to destroy the school system. They want your child to learn how to be little bitty crooks, little bitty homosexuals, little bitty selfish people. And I'm dividing. I'm not saying homosexuals are the most given people in the world. I'm not saying that. I'm just dividing. This is what they want your child to be. Now, you can talk about me as being an alcoholic if you want, because I used to be an alcoholic. God has delivered me from that. God loves the person and hates the alcoholic. Hates the alcohol drinking, rather. Sorry. He loves the person but hates the homosexuality. He loves the person but hates the drug addict. So why are you linking homosexuality? Look, you didn't come out. When you were born, your mom didn't look at you and say, what a gay kid. You had to develop that way. Don't give me you were born that way, please. Please. That's why a lot of people are miserable. Say, well, a lot of people are happy. Well, a lot of people, from what I know, is miserable. Heck, a lot of people in the heterosexual marriages are miserable. But God has to deliver from these bondages. God has to deliver from the messed up marriage. God can fix the messed up marriage. But you see, along with God's success, it's also of a successful person who is walking with God is also a person who is walking with what is called trials. The life, when you become a Christian, you don't get perfect. Your life is not, your life don't just become perfect. Your life don't become just perfect. There's trials, there's tribulations. And look at all the prophets. Even the ones that I call squeaky clean, like Joseph. Even though Joseph is squeaky clean to be up in somebody's cellar or prison, Daniel is squeaky clean. See, I can relate to, like, David. Or I can relate to Solomon. Or I can relate to even, heck, Peter. But there's some people I'm like, I can relate to after the fact that I've learned that, hey, I have to get it right and I have to walk worthy of the vocation that God has called me for. I have to walk in the light, not in darkness. I have to walk in the Spirit. Because if you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't belong to God. The Holy Spirit comes into you and you walk. So, looking at these guys that I can relate to gives me hope. It gives me hope that I can live a better life. So, getting back to a strong foundation, getting back to, we must keep a strong foundation. We must continue to read our word. There are going to come times, there's coming down the pike, judgment on this nation. And if we don't pray for this land, we're going to come under judgment. The judgment is coming from all the pressure. Can you imagine a building or a dam having too much pressure on one column? Well, the pressure on the United States is one column is abortion. Pretty soon the column is going to give in. And the whole dam is going to come down. I love my country. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I don't love it. I like going outside and just not being harassed by the policemen. I like going to the, well, you used to be able to go to the airports. But I like going to the mall, you know, or going, you know, from one city to the next. I like that. I like being able to have the freedom to do that. So somebody asked me for my papers. These secret societies, we just had a Bilderberger meeting earlier this month. And I like to plug Alex Jones, www.infowars.com. Go there and find out about the New World Order. Matter of fact, also go to www.raptureready.com. My website is not ready yet. I made it too big, so now I have to manage it. It's going to be called theprophecyzone.com, but it's too big. But the New World Order, they're ready to go. It's up to God now. God is going to have to move his hand off of this nation. And there's no reason to put it back on. And the word of God says that sooner or later, your prayers are going to be useless, even my own people. Even my own people's prayers are going to, he said, I'm going to turn a deaf ear to that. Because there's no action behind it. There's no action behind the prayer. So there's no strength behind the prayers. There's no, there's probably faith, but after a while, his spirit is not always going to strive with man. And the last man is going to go into the ark and shut the door. Or the last woman. Now, what I started off, what I wanted to actually preach about, I didn't really teach about on this show. I wanted to talk to you about the rapture of the church and is there a rapture or is there not a rapture. And most people believe that there is, a lot of people are starting to believe that there is no rapture. Now, I'm going to tell you right now where I stand about the rapture of the church. And if you look very closely, you'll find the answer. But then, some little Tweety Bird inside of your ear is going to say, no, that's not it, and you're going to go on usual. Okay. The scoffers that Peter was talking about, could that be Christian? Oh, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the forefathers fell asleep, we've always been hearing about this. Could it be that they're saying, well, no one's going to know the day and hour. We're gonna do some suffering. We're gonna go through the tribulation period. We're gonna go through some of it at least. It's like they want to go through it. Do you believe that God can take Philip from the eunuch after talking to him and transport him somewhere else? Do you think he can do billions of people at the same time, or is that too weak for God? Did he make a rock that he can't lift? Is it maybe God can actually translate people, the atoms that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That means he can call a dude that blew up in World War I all his elements. That is the coolest thing in the world. When you sit down and think about this God, it's the coolest thing you can ever think about. This God can take elements that don't even exist no more, or they do exist evidently because he called them out of nowhere. You guys actually think God, you guys don't deserve. It's not about deserving. The wrath of God is coming upon the earth in the tribulation period. The wrath of God is, that's it, the wrath of God. When a missionary goes to another land, or when a Chinese Christian dies, that is the wrath of Satan. The Bible strictly says that the tribulation period will be the wrath of God. So if it is the wrath of God, Paul said he shall keep us out of us. The time of testing that is coming upon the whole world to test the whole world. So it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What wrath? Now, us, why would that be a universal? I'm not going to hell with you. You're not going to hell with me. I'm not going to stand in front of God and give an account with you as my... It's my, oh, we're partners. You know how the police stop you for drinking and driving? And, oh, well, he did it and she did it and he said and she did it. Said. That ain't going to happen. God has delivered us. That's universal. That's a universal. He is from the wrath to come. What is he talking about? Well, that's 2,000 years ago. No. We're going to find out that the way God dealt with his people back then, the word of God is living, so it travels. So it's able to tell that generation he has kept us from the wrath to come, which is sort of hell. But sooner or later in time, there will be a universal, he has kept us out of the wrath to come. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. And I challenge anybody out there to find me the word church. I ain't talking about elect. Quit dancing over hoops and making the dog roll over. Find me the word church after chapter 4. Tell me when you email me or shoot me a comment and tell me when you find it. Then I'll tell you, you know what? You're right. But until then, I won't tell you you're right. We are not here. Now, the 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses, and the angel preaching the gospel. Now, draw this picture. Where is the church? Did the gates of hell prevail against it? Did the Antichrist shut us up so we can't preach the gospel at all? Quit changing the gospel. He said, I'll build my church. He's a prophet. He's the prophet of all prophets. He's God. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He didn't say, I'll build my saints. He said, I'll build my church. The word church is not found after chapter 6. If you can find the word church, please email me. That is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That is hope. What you guys do who say that there is no rapture, what you do is take hope. It's a purifying hope. So if someone knows Jesus Christ is coming back, they're going to get ready. And if you are telling them that there is, we're going to get in the tribulation period, and then you can count exactly when he's coming back.
Well, in the middle of the, sometime at the end,
we can count it towards the day the Antichrist signs the peace deal. So God, Jesus himself, shall descend from the clouds with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we shall be with the Lord always. We didn't touch the ground. We didn't pick up nobody else. From chapter 6, actually from chapter 4, but from chapter 6 onward, the word church is finally missing in 19:20. I'll look it up in a minute. Now, he should frustrate the saints. Who is that? Do you think the 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses and the two angels flying through the sky is preaching to no one? What are they here for? The priesthood? That's our problem today. We think this is a Christian nation, so we don't have to talk to nobody anyway.
Well, the 144,000, they're just making sure the church is good to go.
They ain't preaching to the church. They're preaching to new people. This is how graceful and merciful God is. See, the Satan has pulled the blinders, the wool over people's eyes, so they'll say, there is no rapture. I believe that times will get a little shaky, well, a lot shaky, in the near future, a year, maybe a couple months. A year or two, maybe a couple months. I keep going back to the couple months, but I could be wrong. It's all outdoors, and I love to be wrong because then I can preach to other people. But I'm not putting God on layaway. You could rapture me out of here. It'd be beneficial to y'all, just like Paul said. You can take me out. The Holy Spirit is not going to be taken out of here completely. The Holy Spirit will be is tunneled through the church, and the Holy Spirit will be poured back and poured back. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, so you can't get rid of it. Get rid of him. He says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That means that the people, after the church is gone, people will hear the gospel and respond. John says, I cannot count the number of people who were saved. I cannot count the number. He says, I cannot count the number. So if he can't count the number, what did the 144,000 Jews do? What did the two witnesses do? What did the angel flying through the sky do? The greatest evangelistical moment in the history of this world. Where's the church? Looking down. Why did Jews say, I see the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints? Where did he get them from? Were they already in heaven from the great flood? Because there was nobody saved then. I tell you what it is, it's the church. And the few people who were getting murdered in the tribulation period. They have to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. So immediately after death, they go to heaven. God is calling people out right now to finish his work. And then, does the end come? But the gospel will be preached. then the end shall come. But the church has done its part. And yes, I am a dispensationalist. I do believe that there are different factions that God dealt with. He can't deal with the Israelites back when Moses was here and the church at the same time. So those are two different entities, right? Now, the Spirit still travels on with the Israelites' relevance to America. There's so many great coalitions between the Israelites and America that you know judgment is going to come. And he told the Joel, he says, if you read chapter 4, Joel showed the people how God had patiently tried to awaken them through five separate acts of discipline. And if you read Matthew 24, verses 1 to 6, it's the same discipline. It says, it says, for years God has been trying to awaken them, jar them, and haunt their downward course. He has sent famines and droughts, Joel 4, 6 and 8, blight and mildew to destroy the gardens and vineyards, which is still the famine, pestilence, which is 4 and 10, wars, 4 and 10, fires and natural disasters, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is 4 and 11, verse 4 and 11. So he is going to punish the United States for the column that they made. Remember the column I was talking about? The gate had so much stress on it, but everybody thought it was all good because the column was still holding the foundation together. And all of a sudden, boom, it just blows up. Well, abortion, we just got by on abortion for so long. Now, if a lady out there that had an abortion, God loves you. That's not my point. My point is that God will judge this nation. I used to be an alcoholic. I got to quit saying that because I say it so quickly. And God has delivered me from alcoholics, but he's also going to partially judge the nation for being a bunch of alcoholics. Now, every time somebody talks about an alcoholic, do I get offensive? No. But I can sympathize with a lady who has lost a child. Because when I look at my child, and I imagine my wife having an abortion or something like that, or my sister, or my niece had one just recently. And that's not, I'm sad. I'm very sad about that. So, I will not be taking any callers for a while until I have some reasons for it. I'll probably be taking some in the near future. If you want to hang there, that's fine, but I won't be taking any callers. God bless you. And the remainder of the show, I want to continue to talk about the rapture of the church because it is very important, and I believe that is why a lot of church members aren't getting ready. They aren't getting ready, and they don't want to get ready. Because every time you talk to them about end time prophecy, people don't want to hear about that. I got to see my grandson graduate. Well, I want to get married first. I want to find the right guy first. Or I want to get more kids. I want to get another house. You know, I want to do this or that. Everybody always wants to do more. But you know what? I've seen some of the beautiful sunsets and some of the beautiful scenery in this world. This world is supposed to be cursed. But when you look at the overall scope of this planet and you listen to the news, I just had a police psychology class where we talk about serial killers. And trust me, I wanted to drop the class, but I couldn't. I had to hang in there. And I'm thinking, what kind of world is this, man? It's a sick world. And that's not counting. I mean, hey, this is a sick world. And this is the very same world, as long as you don't mess with my territory, as long as you don't come in my backyard, as long as my life is good, this is the same place, this is the same country that people say, well, if it's not my problem, I don't care. And this is the same thing that's going to get us judged. If it's not my concern in the next couple of years, go ahead and spin off all the rest of the Social Security money. It's okay. I don't really give a darn. You good. I don't need it anyway because I'll be dead. That's some crazy stuff, man. But you know what? A lot of people are going to come to Christ. A lot of people. It's going to be underground church. Underground. I say to myself, saints, underground saints. I got to get that word church out because that's not the church. Church is going to go underground. They're going to call it church, I guess. It's addictive. I don't mind. We're all of the same body. We all belong to the same. We all from the Spirit of God. God has drawn all man to himself through one spirit. Is Netanyahu going to sign a peace deal? I believe that we're headed for war. What is this, June? We could be headed for war in the next couple of weeks. And if we can get past the next couple of weeks, it could be next year. Say, well, how you know? It's not going to be too long. The 70-year generation is from 1948 to 2018. There is no 80 generation. I'll detect it out. Now, it might be one, if you can find it. That this generation should not pass. So you know it ain't 100 years. We too wicked for that. So you know it ain't 80 years because I can't find one. I mean, if you find one or two, that doesn't prove the point. There's a 40-year generation and a 7-year generation. Now, I do believe that God has given us warnings with both those. This generation should not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Now, the fig tree and Hosea is Israel. So we're going off that. So 1948, 2018 is 70 years. Now, Jerusalem should be trotting down by the Gentiles until all these things be fulfilled. Well, if we were to count a generation, a 40-year generation would fit. So 40 years, so 40, so 2007, so that'd be 40 years. So that's 10 years in between. So it's 2018, which is 10. The number 10 is the judgment. So you got sandwiched. So the judgment time is from 2008 to 2018. And I was able to pinpoint exactly when the markets were going to start tipping. Okay. Now I believe that the sign, if you want to, you can go check it out, the month of Av. Go look, go type it in the search engine, Av, the day of Av, the month of Av, the time of Av, A-V. It's spelled A-V. And then there's a time when the Jewish people temple was destroyed twice. When Adolf Hitler gave the decree to destroy the Jewish people, when they were sent to the exile in Babylon, a lot of things happened in this time period that were not good. And they call it the time of mourning. So we have to look that up. And then once you find out what date that falls on this year, you go and look up NASA and go check them out for solar eclipses. And you'll notice that the solar eclipse falls at the same time, just like last year. Remember last year, 888, when Russia was supposedly invading Georgia? Russia is the key country that will invade Israel in the last days. But before Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's going to be a war in Psalm 83. So that war takes place before Ezekiel 38 and 39, but these wars can take place within months, weeks within each other. Okay? So the sign is there. Now, if it's going to be a super-duper catastrophic event that would happen between July 21st and July 30th, or July 31st, we'll know it. And that doesn't mean we know exactly when the Pandora's box is open up for end time, because the signs are here, but there's going to be one event that is going to open up everything completely. I don't know if it's going to be a terrorist attack, or if it's going to be a war, or if it's going to be more earthquakes. I'm looking for earthquakes to really get bad around the time that Christ is going to return, because the what it's saying in Romans chapter 8, that even the nature itself, even the world, wants redemption. It's growling and moaning. So I believe that once the world senses, the earth senses that Christ is coming back, things are going to get really shaky. I believe famines will be next on the list. But that can be tied into more pestilence. So we're not done with this pestilence stuff. The drag racer theory, or the woman birth pains theory, is going to come to fruition, because when they come out of a drag race, the car is actually slower than when it finishes. So times could change overnight. It says in Luke 21 that the end times should come on people like a snare. It's a surprise. So how is it a surprise? And what is 2012? Is it the beginning of the tribulation period? Is it anywhere around the tribulation period? Is 2013 the middle of the tribulation period? Somewhere, something. The world is looking for this paradigm shift, this great awakening. Well, I believe that the Antichrist is going to go in the temple and say, "I am God." And that's going to be the great awakening. So if you back off 3.5 years, what do you get? 2009. Or 10. One of the two. If it's a 70-year generation, 2018, as far as we can go, you can only fit one more 7 around 2011. So 2011 to 2018 could be the last 7. That's it. So 2009 is looking much, much more like the year, if not 2009, 2010. One of those two. I'm not a prophet. Please don't tell me I'm one. I'll be wrong as all outdoors. Am I going to feel bad? No. Not at all. So where do we go from here? Do we get saved? Being saved is not just attending church or singing a couple of songs and going home for the rest of the week. People go to church on Sundays and live like heck on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back on church on Sunday. And then some people say, "Well, at least they're in church." Well, I don't think that way no more. if you were eating, if that was food, and you only ate on Sundays, most of America will be slim. We need to read the Word of God ourselves. And we act like the Word of God is like 3 million pounds or something. We got to lift the Word of God up. We got to pick it up. What happened? What happened? What happened when Jesus went up to the mountain to be tempted by the devil? What did he tell the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. In what? The Word of God. To be absent of reading your Word throughout the week, it's like you starving yourself through the week. Spiritually, we're skinny. Spiritually, we look like a third world, a fourth world country. We are malnourished. And only God can give us the light. We can only come into the light through reading His Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, not just by a preacher. Faith comes by reading and reading the Word of God. Too much is given, much is required. You know that the printing press didn't print any Bibles until the 1900s. So we have the Bible in almost every house. But see, we won't pick it up. We will not pick it up. And until we pick it up, we will not return back to a Christian nation. We got more people promoting their kids playing soccer than picking up a Bible. And you call this a Christian nation? I don't think so. I don't think so. And quit half-heartedly saying, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I'm going to pray for you, sister, and don't do it. Because I do the same thing. That's why it's good to write lists out. That's why it's better to say Merry Christmas than I'm going to pray for you. And Merry Christmas is for that one moment. Now, if you acknowledge that you're praying for the person while you're saying it, I'll pray for you. At that time, technically, you're praying for them. I pray that you blah, 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 blah. Pray for them at that moment. Go ahead and start doing that. We got to, folks. But I'm going to tell you right now that God is gracious, and He wants to save everyone in my chat room. And I don't know if y'all can hear me or not, but I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that everyone that is writing in that chat room will be saved and will enter heaven. And God will give you the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And I pray for everyone out there that's going to listen to my show that I'm not just doing it for vain, that the Word of God will not return back void. And then everyone and within my hearing will be able to make a logical decision and a heartfelt decision to serve the living Lord. Because we're living in a time right now that 2020 seems unreachable. But thanks be to you are the resurrection and the life, Lord. We will see another day. We thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to be doing more organized shows. These shows are still like just the Holy Spirit is like just got me going. And I'm mostly full of I'm a burst, and it just comes out. So maybe about a couple of months from here, the Lord wills and time tarries, I'll be much more fresh and to the point. And I'm getting the ums out. I'm getting those out. So maybe in a couple of weeks, I won't have any more of those ums, and it'll be much more fresher. See, I almost got it right there. But we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our senators, our congressmen. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel. We need to pray for, heck, we need to pray for North Korea. We need to pray for the Christians in North Korea, those who need the gospel and need to hear the gospel. Now, people in North Korea need God. They need we need to go to heaven, all of us, so we can shake hands and hug. And I don't know if they have meat up there. You know, a brother got to have meat. Black dude got a brother got to have some fried chicken. So maybe he wanted to. Maybe I have an auntie up there that can fix me some chicken. Holy chicken, because it's going to be crispy. It's probably going to be so crispy, it's going to be like glowing or something. So God bless everybody out there. I still got 3 minutes, but I don't too much believe in letting I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys know ahead of time what my shows are going to be about, and I'm going to try to follow it for verbatim, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will pull us off this whatever track we were on, and we'll have us start talking about something else. So if that is the case, then I'm going to let God choose what I'm going to talk about. And tonight I was like, God, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to talk about? And the last minute, he's like, talk about the rapture. And that's what happened. So God is going to have me speak more about abortion. And if anybody out there who had an abortion, God loves you. And don't think I'm taking it personally. I'm not mad at anybody. My niece just had one, and I went to visit Michigan, and I didn't judge her. I didn't look at her any differently than I would have normally. But at the same time, that's because of God. Because if it wasn't for God, I would have a judgmental spirit. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we still have judgmental spirits that we have to deal with. And if we don't deal with them, it's going to eat us. Okay? We're going to be at this ministry watching the end times together. It's like going to watch the fireworks. That's going to be a lot more than fireworks. And it's not really that funny, but you just gotta chuckle sometimes, because a lot of people out there kind of know about the end times and they've seen the movies. So I'm taking it before the rapture of the church. There's gonna be some clue, and some people are gonna get back online. I don't think too many people are gonna get offline. I think more people are gonna get online. And blessed is the person who. Saw things coming, because I think things are going to get worse. They're going to get so bad that it looks like we're in Armageddon. That's what I think. And then those people who say there was no rapture, yeah, well, there is one. You just got to wait. Then 3, 2, 1, boom, there's the word rapture. Bum, 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 bum. You missed it. Okay, but God bless everyone out there. I'm going to try to have a show So I love all of you, and God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day.